you to turn with me in your Bibles this evening, this time to Psalm 146. If you're using your pew Bible, you can find this on page 666. Again, this is Psalm 146. Hear now the living word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of his word. So we've come this evening to the beginning of the final five psalms of the book of Psalms. And these five psalms share a particular characteristic in that they begin and they end with a call to praise the Lord. And they are filled with calls to praise our God. And tonight, as we look at this psalm, it's a call to praise our God, who is our King and reigns forever. He is referred to here as the God of Jacob, one of the names that he is referred to throughout the pages of Scripture. And it is this God of Jacob, the Lord God of Israel, who reigns forever, that we are called to praise this evening. And in this call to praise our Lord, we're also called to put our hope in him. Verse 5 says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So tonight, as we look at this psalm, we'll be looking at the application to praise the Lord, the God of Jacob, who reigns forever, and put your hope in him. We'll be looking at this theme, this application, in 2 points. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord as long as you live. And then point 2 in verses 3 to 10, put your hope in the God of Jacob who reigns forever. So first of all, verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The word praise here in these opening two verses is used 4 times. Now, the call to praise God is not a unique call throughout the Psalms and in the pages of Scripture. And as we consider this call to praise our God, one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, what does this look like? What does it mean to praise? And how do we praise? What should our praise look like? Is it just the time in which we sing psalms to him, as it's listed in our bulletin, praise? Or is it beyond that? Well, the word in the Hebrew that is translated as praise also means to boast, to glory in, to exalt, to commend, something of renown. And if we consider just the English word praise, it means to express warm approval or admiration of. Now, as we consider the meaning of both the Hebrew and what we have in English, you know, consider those words, something that we boast in, something that we glory in, something that we exalt, that we commend, or in the English, something that we express warm approval or admiration of. You know, in each of those words, something to boast in, something to glory in, to exalt, to commend, to express. The praise of God is not a private matter. It is something that is vocal. It's something that is expressed. It's not something that is hidden within. But it's something that starts from within, as David, or not David, because Psalm 145 was the last psalm that he wrote. But the psalmist here begins in, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Or in verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul. So this praise starts from within our being, from within our soul, but then it escapes out, it overflows, it bubbles out. It is something that we can all think of something that we love and that is held dear to us. And if given the opportunity, we begin talking about it a lot. Well, that's really what the psalmist is talking about here. They have reached a point in thinking about God and in meditating upon God and his works and who he is and what he has done. And it begins within his heart, within his soul that he's meditated upon. And it springs forward, it overflows. And it is not a private matter. It flows through the mouth. He sings praises to my God. Now, one of the things that verse 2 shows us, it's as long as I live, something that is looked to be done throughout our life. But if you also consider the final words of verse 2, while I have my being, as we consider who we are in Christ, and we look back on this psalm through the lens of the New Testament, and we look back on this psalm and what God teaches us throughout his scriptures of how we, our souls are eternal, and we will live with him in his presence for all of eternity. Praise is something in this little phrase, while I have my being, is something that goes far beyond even this life, and it points to the life to come. That this is something that we will be doing for all of eternity. That we will be in the glorious presence of our God, of our Lord, our King, forever, and we will be praising him. You can think upon that day and think upon that time. We don't know exactly what our existence will look like. We know that we'll have physical bodies. We know it'll be a new heavens and a new earth. We know that we will be in God's glorious presence. We can rightly deduce from Scripture that we'll have work to do, that we will enjoy doing. We will have a life there, that we will go about whatever work God has given us to do. And as we pass one another in the street, as we say hi to one another, as we talk to other people, we'll give praises to God. This praise will spring from a purified and glorified soul. And we will give each other the praises of God. So while I have my being, it's a praise of God that rightly extends through eternity and that is never ceasing. But it's a call in these verses also to here and now, while we have our life here and now, to not neglect to give this vocal praise of our God, to give expression to what we meditate in our hearts and in our soul, and to allow that to flow out through our mouths and praise our God to those around us, not just to our brothers and sisters in this setting, but in our daily lives as we go about our business, to speak and voice the praises of our God. And so these first two verses are a call to proclaim the praises of our Lord throughout our existence, both in the here and now in our day-to-day life, but also looking forward and longing for that day to come when we will praise him in perfection. And so, brothers and sisters, proclaim, voice, make audible the praises of our Lord. And this brings us to the second point, to put your hope in the God of Jacob who reigns forever. After the psalmist calls us to praise our Lord while we have our being, he then in verse 3 gives a warning to not put our trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. You know, again, that phrase, son of man, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, could be a son of Adam. So this verse could be, put not your trust in princes, in a son of Adam, in whom there is no salvation. You know, if you think back upon the fall of mankind and the sin of Adam and Eve, and the promise that is made when God first declares the gospel, when he tells them that, or he's talking to the serpent, and he said, you will crush or bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but he will crush your head. You know, it's, and then later on, Adam, as he renames woman, and he gives her the name Eve, because she will be the mother of all the living, he recognizes that when God pronounced that curse upon the serpent, which was the proclamation of the gospel to Adam and Eve, that it was through the seed of the woman that life would come. And you can look at that as Adam's, I believe, his profession of faith in what God has declared. And he is believing upon that promise that God has made. And so then you see throughout the pages of the scriptures, this these two lines of the seed of the serpent and the seed of a woman. The seed of a woman that God is preserving until the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Virgin Mary, is born. That seed of the woman that was promised so long ago. Now, all this is to show, when Scripture talks about the sons of Adam and the line of Adam, is usually speaks of the line of futility, the line that doesn't lead to life. And we see that here in these pages, or in this verse, in verse 3, put not your trust in princes, in a son of Adam, in whom there is no salvation. Our salvation is not in the line of Adam. It is in that seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. But there's also here reference the dominion that was given to the sons of Adam. But not your trust in princes. But then also in verse 4, there's the curse that was brought upon the fall of Adam. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. He returns to dust. As God told Adam, you will return to the dust, for dust you are, from dust you are taken, and to dust you will return. The sons of Adam all return to dust. But we also see that on that very day, his plans perish. You know, as we can even look at today of various leaders and various world leaders making all kinds of plans that have an impact on the world as we know it. When they die, their plans go away. They do not come to fruition. When our plans, as long as we are living, our plans have a chance of coming into being. But as soon as we die, they're gone. They fall away. They go to the dust just as we go to the dust. Now, this is contrasted here with the God of Jacob. Blessed be he whose help, instead of earthly princes, instead of the son of Adam, in whom there is no salvation, who returns to the dust. In contrast to that, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, that contrast will be expanded further as we get to the final verse. But in between, this mention of putting our hope in the Lord, the God of Jacob, the psalmist lists out for us reasons why we should put our hope in the Lord. First of all, in verse 6, we're to put our hope in the Lord because he is our creator. He is the one who has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. In contrast to the princes of the earth who seem powerful, it's nothing compared to the creator of the world who has made all these things and everything in it. But in addition to the fact of God being our creator, he is also the one who, in verse 6, who keeps faith forever. He is the one who is faithful. He is the one who is true to his word. He never wavers. And we can have confidence only in him. He is the one, in verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed. We have a saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you see that play out in time again in Earth's history. As human beings rise in power, they also tend to rise in their evil and oppression of those under them. Not so our God, who is all-powerful, yet he is the one who executes justice for those who are oppressed. He is also to be hoped in because he is the one who gives food to those who are hungry. He provides food throughout the earth. You know, giving a little glimpse of next week when we look at Psalm 147, there the psalmist talks about how God brings the clouds and he brings the rain to water the earth. He provides food for the world. He also, in verse 7, sets the prisoner free. This points us to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in giving us freedom from our sins. He opens the eyes of the blind, again, pointing to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when John's disciples were sent to him asking him, "Are you actually the Christ, or should we look for another?" What does he tell John's disciples to do but to go back and report what is happening in fulfillment of prophecy, that the deaf were hearing, the blind were seeing, and the lame were walking. The Lord is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. And when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, as he performed that miracle, I mean, this was no doubt in your good Jewish person who would know this psalm, and he would see Jesus perform this miracle that, as far as we know, no one else was able to do, is restore sight to the blind. This was no doubt in the back of their mind, like, wait a second. Doesn't Psalm 146, the same, and they would know it by Psalm 146, doesn't Psalm 146 tell us this? Doesn't it tell us this, that the Lord would open the eyes of the blind? He also lifts up those who are bowed down. Our Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Take my yoke upon you, for I am humble, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He is one who does not extinguish the smoldering wick. He's break the bruised reed. He is one who is kind and gentle. He lifts up and raises up those who are bowed down and humble. We're called to hope in him because he loves the righteous. Now, this isn't the righteous in the sense that people are righteous in and of themselves, but this is the righteous. This is the people of God that God has made righteous. And he has shown his love to us, and that he has given us that righteousness that he alone possesses. He loves the righteous. The Lord is the one who watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. These would be those who are on the fringes and the outside of a society, the weakest of a society. The Lord watches over and protects them. But then, the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Now, this is also a reason that we are called to hope in the Lord. It's an expression, again, of his justice. He will bring those who practice wickedness to ruin. And ultimately, the plans of the wicked will be brought to nothing. They will not succeed. They may have some measure of success as the world would look out upon them here and now. But the wicked will, and their plans, come to nothing. And this is a promise that God has made. And it is the Lord who has done all these things. And so in verses 6 to 9, blessed is he whose help is the Lord in verse 5 and whose hope is the Lord his God. And then 6 through 9, we're given the reasons why we are to hope in the Lord our God. He is our creator. He keeps faith. He executes justice. He provides food. He sets the prisoner free. He gives sight to the blind. He exalts the humble. He loves the righteous. He protects the weakest of society, and he brings the wicked to ruin. This is a God who is worthy to be hoped in, who is worthy to be trusted in. Now, again, verse 10 returns to the contrast with verses 3 and 4. Unlike the princes of the earth, unlike the sons of Adam who have dominion, but yet return to the earth in dust, and their plans fall to ruin as well. In contrast to that, the Lord will reign forever. And your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So regardless of what earthly kings might do, regardless even of how good they might be, we are not to put our hope and our trust in them. You know, next year we're having another presidential election. We are not to put the hope of our country in whoever will be president. Whoever will be president, our country probably won't change that much. That is not our hope. The eternal King of all the earth is our hope. He is the one that we are to trust in. He is the one we are to hold on to look to and to hope in and to trust in. Because he is alone the one who can take care of all of his creation. Now, the contrast isn't really mentioned here, but it is hinted at in as far as the plans of the Lord. Now, as God is contrasted with the rulers of the earth and how they return to dust along with their plans, the contrast is our Lord reigns forever. And so, unlike the plans of the rulers of the earth, the Lord's plans are established forever. His plans will endure. As Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word endures forever. And as we consider the word of God, his decrees, his revealed will for us, that will endure forever. And no prince of the earth will ever bring that to ruin. And so ultimately, this is the reason we're to put our hope and our trust in the Lord. Because he, brothers and sisters, will reign forever and never be overthrown. And so let us put our hope in the Lord our God, who reigns forever. So to bring this message to a close, again, this psalmist here calls us to praise our Lord. It begins with the call to praise the Lord and ends with the call to praise the Lord. And the reason why we are to praise our God, to give expression and vocal praise and admiration of our God, is because he alone is the eternal King of all the earth, who will reign forever. He alone is the one who has made us, and he provides for us, and he will sustain us, and he will execute justice in the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, let us praise the God of Jacob, our Lord, who reigns forever, and put our hope in him alone. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that your reign is forever and that your kingdom can never be overthrown. We pray that we would put our hope only in you, who has created us and made us, who sustains us, who upholds us by your mighty right hand. May you, Lord, continue to guide and direct us, and give us, Lord, your grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.